settle in. We've got a three-part series here on Learn From People Who Lived It. Hi there, it's Matthew Blades. And last year, after I interviewed Courtney McDermott, I emailed her right after and I was like, hey, I don't know what it is about our chemistry and about our interview, but I feel like we're supposed to do more things together. So what do you think? She hit me back. She was like, oh my God, I had the exact same feeling. So we decided on this three-part series, and we're going to break it down into humor, time management, and why you don't have what you want. So the three parts will be released all today, so you can consume them kind of at will and on demand. But I'm really excited about this series because adding humor to your life was, for me, a critical element to sort of cycle out of that anxiety and depressive state that I was in for a few years. You know, when you jump into a depression, you forget to laugh. You know, things aren't as funny. It's just such a tough headspace to be in. And so the idea of adding humor back into your life may not feel like something you want to do right now, especially if you've been down or are on that journey right now with a bit of depression. But I can promise you that it's a critical element to getting yourself back on track and out of what feels like that rut. Second, we're going to talk about time management. This is something that I super suck at. I don't know about you, but like I just have a very difficult time with time management, and I get distracted easily, and I actually have to use a series of tools that you'll hear about in that podcast to help me out with my day. A couple of apps, there's a clock that I bought, but these things significantly improve my situation when it comes to time management. The first part, which you're getting ready to listen to today, is titled Why You Don't Have What You Want, because we break down all of the things that typically prevent us from getting to the promised land. And just a little bit of a newsflash, most of the time, we're in our own way. I'm not going to spoil anything. There's a lot to this episode, so let's jump in after a word from our resource partners, which I hope you will choose to give your business to. So almost every week of my life for the last 2 years, somebody will ask me about the retreat that changed my life, and I'm so proud to present Spirit Quest as one of our official resource partners. Founded in 2007, it's the holistic wellness center that changed my life, helped me overcome anxiety, helped me work through conflict, gave me all these tools to manage stress, and they would love to do the same thing for you. To connect to Spirit Quest, click the link on our resources tab at learnfrompeoplewholivedit.com, and when you get on the phone with them, make sure you mention that you heard it on Learn From People Who Lived It. You've probably heard me say this before, but most of the things that kill us are preventable, and that's exactly why I put my heart in his hands, in his care. I'm talking about Dr. Robert Todd Hurst and HealthSpan MD. He's my cardiologist because I appreciate his holistic approach to heart health. There's nothing out there like HealthSpan MD, his AFib reversal program, his CAD reversal program. Get the link on the resources page at learnfrompeoplewholivedit.com.
Find Learn From People Who Lived It wherever you get podcast. Search it using all one word, Learn From People Who Lived It.
Welcome to another episode of Learn From People Who Lived It.
Well, this is it, another episode of Learn From People Who Lived It. And Court, it's a great chance to welcome you right back into the mix in the new year. How are you this morning?
Thank you. I am great. How are you doing?
I got that look on my face because I said morning. It's morning for me, but it's evening for you because you are in Italy.
I am in Italy. Yeah, the ring light lies, but it's nighttime.
Okay, I love it. We had Courtney on the show last year, and here's just a short clip of what we said when we were on together. Watch this.
Imagine you got this vast library, right? You got all the books ever written. You got all the potentials, right? And you just, not you personally, this is not your case, but oftentimes most of us, and for different parts in our lives too, this can just apply to a phase of our life. We're taking out the same book every day. And we're like, this is my book.
So I played that for everybody because today you and I are going to kick off a three-part series. Part three, I'm going to work backwards. So stay with me, everybody. I'm going to work backwards. Part three is going to be adding humor and fun to your life. Part two is going to be all about time management. But what we're going to spend some time talking about today is something that you had a meditation on earlier today, which is this idea around why you don't have what you want. And the reason that I selected that clip that we just listened to is that I strongly believe that most of us don't have what we want because we keep checking out the same book, and we never put anything new in our library. So first up, let's talk about your meditation. You're sitting there, you're having some mindfulness this afternoon in Italy, which sounds perfect, by the way. And what's coming to you?
Yeah, you and I had been kind of going back and forth on what we wanted to talk about because there were so many different topics that we could take into consideration. And this one that you sent through about why you don't have what you want yet, there was something just lingering in the back of, I don't know, somewhere, maybe in my prefrontal cortex, actually, but it was just okay. There. And it was like, that question was kind of haunting me. And I was in a meditation and what came through was, you're not there yet because there is always somewhere outside of you. It's some situation, it's some place, it's some relationship, whatever it is, there is somewhere else. And even though, and the thing that really kind of crashed through was, even though we see over and over and over and over again that it's never that, it's never something that once I get that thing, then I'm going to be, then everything is going to be great, right? This thing that you think you want and the thing that you think you want, your happiness is kind of dependent on it, right? Or at least that's what a lot of us believe, that we, or our happiness, our fulfillment, our whatever, however we want to look at that. And again, no matter how many times we hit ourselves against that wall, it's like we haven't caught on, you know, so many of us haven't caught on to it, that that's just not it, that it's not something out there. And I think that's one of the biggest reasons. And I do also maybe want to go back to that conversation about taking out the same book, because that's also very intriguing to this conversation. But it's also like, wait, what about just really going in, understanding what this whole thing is about? What is it about what you want? And we can talk more about that. We learn the lesson over and over because winning the game doesn't do it. But playing the game and feeling that aliveness, that excitement, that enthusiasm coursing through you, through your team. I mean, if we really are honest with ourselves, we can see that right there, that is it.
So I have so many questions that I want to bat around with you. And first and foremost, I'm thinking, all right, so if I'm somebody and I'm sitting here feeling like having that feeling of I don't have what I want, there's all different types of approaches that we should discuss. And one of the things that I like to talk about, Courtney, is Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right? And and there's some fundamental things that we need to have in place before we can go chase the dream, right? If we don't have enough to have a home and a meal and something to drink, like we probably shouldn't think about, you know, something way far down the horizon. We need to solve that immediate Rubik's Cube first, and then we can start to build on top of it. So let's take the person who's, and this is probably a good example because it's happened so much over the last few years, but they've decided to walk away from their career. They're ready to embark on something new. And that's a common thread between the two of us too. So we can speak personally, or you can talk about case studies. But how does somebody who's in that transition trying to rebuild get what they want? What are some fundamental pieces to the equation?
Well, first, I think you have to really begin to question, why do you want what you want?
Okay.
I think lots of times we don't really examine that piece. We're sort of just like, but that's what you're supposed to want. Or maybe we don't even think it that far. We're just like, well, you know, I don't know. Of course, I want this kind of a job, or I want this much money. Why? I mean, when you're talking about the hierarchy of needs, you can go to some countries. I mean, I've been to some personally, and I'm sure you've also been in lots of situations where you see people who don't have those basic needs met, and yet you see them joyful. You see kids running around, hitting a soccer ball in the dirt with the same clothes they've been wearing for the last 10 days, and they're perfectly content. So what are we talking about? What is it really that we're seeking? Because I think when you go to the depths of what you're seeking, you start to get some real clarity around what I was getting at earlier, which seems something of an enigma sometimes, and that is you have it all. You have it all. And it's right there inside of you, and it's the last place you'll look. I recently was giving a talk to quite a big crowd, actually, but when we went into Q&A, one of the women, she was saying how she wanted to make, I think she was saying she wanted to make $1 million that year. And it was her goal. It was her ultimate goal. She had to do it. And we dug a little bit together and I asked her, what does it represent? What does the $1 million mean to you? And so at first it was a very superficial response of like, oh, well, you know, I can enlarge my team or whatever else she told me. And so I said, okay, well, what does that mean? And what does that represent again? And I was just kind of digging with her and it was funny because, you know, we were doing this in a huge crowd, right? But it was very personal. And at the end of just a couple of minutes digging together, what came through was, I'll finally feel like I'm enough.
Oh, that's a good one.
And I'm telling you, Matthew, you get all sorts of things when you dig. Freedom. Freedom's a huge one. People want to feel free. Why do you want to leave that job? Because I don't feel free. Why do you want to leave that? Because I don't feel free. Well, guess what? You're not going to find it in another job. You're not going to find it in another relationship. You're only going to find that sense of freedom or that sense of enoughness or that sense of deservedness inside you.
Man, which is like such an answer nobody wants to hear.
I know.
It's so true. It's like, that sucks. That's no good.
You're like, no, just help me get $1 million. And we'll do that too. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But the trap is that you're thinking that's going to solve something when in reality, you're digging yourself deeper into the illusion that something is outside of you, that the money, that the security, that the whatever it is, it's all representative of something that you think is going to somehow externally be, you know, taken care of so that then internally you're finally going to be okay with what's going on. Well, guess what? No. And I know you're absolutely right. None of us want to hear it and none of us want to do it. Pascal, the famous mathematician, he once said that, and I'm paraphrasing because he was specifically talking about men, but he said, all of our problems stem from our inability to sit quietly in a room alone.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not telling you, you got to do on like a 10-day silent retreat or even sit in a certain position and hold a mudra. I'm not saying any of that. What I am saying is like, got to get with yourself. There's no way around it. There's just no way around it. If you want to be there, there is in you. That's it. There's no other game in town.
What about relationships? Like, how does this apply to relationships? Say I'm in a marriage and it's like, you know, it's been 10, 15, 20 years, whatever, and it's not serving you any longer. And you can kind of feel it. Like there seems to be this rub. There's a lack of whatever. And you kind of say to yourself, like, this sucks. And I don't know that I want to do this anymore. And then so help me figure that out. Like, let's use that as the example. Mm-hmm. So then you're going to drill down on that client. You're going to say, well, okay, why do you want to leave that situation? Am I hearing you right?
In this particular case, I actually wouldn't take that approach. The first thing that came to me when you talked about relationships, because in relationship, right, we're looking at our relationship with the environment, right? Okay. And the immediate thing that came through for me when you said it was Einstein. He said that the environment is the sole governing agency of the particle. And I remember when I was first studying that concept in physics, and I thought if as it applied, you know, practically, I thought, oh, right. So your environment is shaping you, like your external environment is shaping you. And there is truth to that. Of course there is. But then I saw a deeper truth in it, which is if the environment's the sole governing agency of the particle, and you are looking and cultivating that inner environment that we're talking about, you're shaping the particle based on the cultivation of your own inner environment. And then obviously, just like when we see in physics, when we look at the concept of like a wavicle, that wave pattern that's existing outside of you that seems like it's an external thing Although of course nothing's really external to you, that's the other joke, but that then again also becomes a particle. It takes, it moves from the wave function to the particle. What do I mean by that? I mean that we are literally transforming our inner environments, which is the one that we have the control over, and be mindful about how I use that word, but where we have the most agency, let me put it that way. And then we start to see the shifts in our external environment. Like sometimes we think it's the relationship, but when we actually are cultivating whatever it is that we feel is lacking in the relationship, when we're cultivating that inside of us, either that relationship will have to change again, because the particle is always changing. I mean, we're always looking at different phenomena, different physical realities, or it will disappear, like become a wave function again, because now your potentials have changed. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I wonder, what I'm kind of thinking about as I'm listening to you talking, it's like going back to the why piece. Okay. So it's like, if you want to dissolve a relationship, whether it's a work relationship or a marriage or, you know, a friendship or something like that, why do you want to get out of it? And you would probably back out and say, well, we don't have as much fun as we used to, or we don't communicate as well as we used to, or I don't know. There could be a ton of reasons why you sort of feel like relationships should dissolve. And what's interesting to me, and I've been doing a little bit of reading about this, and everybody has a different term for it. I like to call it lottery syndrome, which is that idea of like, I'll be happy mm-hmm. when I get to, it's like, if I just get rid of this relationship and get into a new relationship, I'll be okay. I'll be better. Okay. I think I use that personally, that I use that model after my father died in 1996, and I just kept moving. Like every mm-hmm. 6 months or a year, I just kept moving, because mm-hmm. as long as I was doing that, I didn't really have to, it didn't have to get real. I could just kind of, as soon as it got a little heavy, I could bolt and I could, you know, go find a different place to be and like you said, kind of change my environment. But I wonder if the conversation we can have can move towards like, well, all right, if you want that, then why don't you try to create that within your current system? And mm-hmm. that's a step that I don't think a lot of people take. They just kind of throw in the towel. I'm done. I'm moving on. This is the end of it. Well, what about putting in the effort to this current situation that you would put into your next situation, and see if it's not so much that you two have grown apart or the relationship isn't working anymore? Maybe it's y'all just need to find more ways to come together more often, because I don't know, that seems more realistic to me when it comes to, for sure, marriages, for mm-hmm. sure, jobs, right? Like it's such a hard thing to quit a job, find a job, learn all the stuff, get into their system. Like, you already know what's going on here. Maybe there's a way to tweak and work this out so that it can be better for you. I mean, there's got to be some power in being able to change your own environment, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And I believe as long as you're not trying to change someone else.
Right.
And I think that's where a lot of people, when they set out on this, you know, okay, we're going to figure this out, a lot of people are more concerned about the thing that the other person has to do to make them feel okay.
Boy. Here we go.
You see what I mean?
Uh-huh. All the time.
And so that's where we are in the same rut. Now, here's the other thing about this. I think it's worthwhile. I think it's beautiful. I, you know, make new friends, but keep the old ones, as they say. at the same time, we get into these grooves with each other in our relationships. You know, and it's just like those books that we were talking about taking out in our last episode, taking out the same book all the time, right? And it's like, you think you know that person that you've been living with for X amount of years. You think you know what's in their heart. And then anyone, right?
Yeah.
Like we make all sorts of assumptions. And then, of course, once again, and here's where we get into the real hiccup, and this goes for everything, is we try to make it fit our whatever we think is going to make us be okay.
Mm.
Instead of trying to figure out, okay, how do I figure out how to be okay in myself? And then actually everything around you, it won't even matter. It's the relation, like everything around you will be okay. So it's the inverse approach that we were taught, and it's the real work. But the nice thing about it, I think, is that ultimately when you finally get it, when it clicks in, it requires so much less energy. Like, you don't need to figure it out. It's perfect because you're good.
So, okay, I love what you're saying because I experienced it firsthand, and I have a core belief system within me. I talk about this a lot on my podcast, but for about 8 or 9 years, I studied Buddhism. Mm-hmm. And one of the central concepts that I fell in love with, and I cannot let it go, it feels like a part of my identity, is this idea that life comes from you, not at you. And that's central to what you're talking about. It's like if you feel chaotic, if life feels messy, I encourage you to do what you just said a second ago, which is go sit in a room and be quiet for a little while and figure out what the mess is up here or in your heart or whatever that mess is inside of you. Because if you can buy into this concept that you're a little bit more in control than you think you are, I don't know. There just seems to be so much power in that statement. And the other night we were having dinner, and this is a great story to sort of articulate our point. And my son has got this math teacher, and this math teacher is really old school, kind of a hard ass. And my son's he's a smart kid, and he definitely, like, you know, he's in a high level class. But him and this teacher aren't getting along. They're not jiving, and as a result, he's not learning as much as he could be. So then we've hired this tutor. This tutor comes over, he's working with him. My son loves the tutor. And now all of a sudden, like, things are clicking, things are making sense. Well, he's about to start his second semester with this teacher. And there was all this discussion of, are we gonna let him out of this class? Or is he gonna just push through and try to figure this thing out? And so we're at dinner the other night, and my mother-in-law turns to him, and she emphasizes this Dale Carnegie principle, which is act enthusiastic and you'll be enthusiastic, right? And so she's telling my son, she's like, listen, it's really all about the kind of energy that you are bringing to the class, and it's all about how you're showing up. And if you can, in the second semester, start to show up differently, I predict that things will change for you. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's perfect. That's exactly what I say. Life comes from you, not at you. It's like the same concept, just different words. And we could move more toward that. I have found that why you don't have what you want is because you're not willing to do the work on yourself to get to where you need to be. So we may have just figured this podcast out in 21 minutes.
We may have. I think a lot of people listening might think, well, that sounds really nice, but kind of like, how do I do it?
You know,
because we do, when we face the fact that we have such a mess and that really we kind of created it because we told our minds, like, figure all this stuff out. And think about it, even the way that we talk about it, we say, like, I have to figure this out.
Yeah.
You know, I have to figure this relationship out. I have to figure this thing out. And I think that there's one thing, and nobody really wants to hear it usually, especially if they're really strung out. There's really only one thing that you have to do. It's kind of a not doing. It's like, relax. And to your point from Buddhism, just decide, you know, relax into the idea that it's happening. It's just happening. Like, there's nothing for you to figure out. Isn't that crazy and scary at the same time, but also really liberating? Because it's like, oh, actually, if I didn't have to figure out this relationship, could I just see this person fresh right now? Could I just be here and see and just notice, like, this is what's happening. This is the person. Isn't this interesting? At least, you know, rather than all of this kind of, it's like, enough. Just tell the mind that it doesn't have that job anymore. It's a phenomenal instrument. Like, use it for something else rather than trying to figure out all this stuff. Like, what is just is. And again, that might sound philosophical. It doesn't have to be. It can just be like, I'm going to take a deep breath and I'm just going to relax. Like, it is right now. It's going to change. Guess what? All of it's going to change. It's going to change. Even if you don't want to see that it's changing, it's changing all the time. Your relationships, your career, whatever. Even if you know, want to keep it a certain way, you can't. You can't.
So, you know what? I just wrote down this word and then I circled it. And the word that I wrote down is trust. Mm-hmm. And what I'm talking about is not trust with other people. but trusting yourself. And that's where it gets a little terrifying, if you ask me. So this idea of, and I love that we're having this conversation more than you could possibly know, because for years I operated my life with this idea that letting go meant stop caring.
Giving up or stop caring, yeah.
That's it, right? And I could never resonate, I could never reconcile that thought. I was like, I can't just let it go because then it means I've stopped caring about this thing. Okay. So here's a real question for you listening to our podcast right now. And I want you to spend time with this after this podcast. Do you trust yourself? Do you really, really trust yourself? Like in the nooks and crannies, at night, in the dark room by yourself, do you trust yourself? And if you can come to a firm yes, well, then it's going to be a little easier to let go. But if you can't get to a yes, maybe that's what we could bat around here for a minute, is how can we get people to trust themselves a little bit more, right? Because it's more than just having some occasional wins so you feel like you've got some win in your sales. It's like there's a sequence that probably needs to happen for us to begin trusting ourselves again enough to let it go. So do you have a formula that you can give us? Because I'm guessing if you did, you'd be a jillionaire. But what are you teaching people? How are you working with folks to trust themselves?
That's a really good question, because I think ultimately all our fears are, they come down to a lack of trust.
Yeah.
Everything we're afraid of is us not trusting.
Or it doesn't happen on our time frame.
Right. But again, it's, you're not trusting. You're not trusting that the timing is right. You're not trusting that, you're just not trusting. It's like, and that is what is creating a massive amount of fear and anxiety.
I'm going to do something. I've never done this in the middle of a podcast, yeah. But I'm going to go to Google. And I'm literally going to type in how to build trust. And we're going to see what shows up here. This is going to be an interesting test of what Google says. Okay, so here you go. Here's what Google says. And that's a small print, so I'll read it. It says, value long-term relationships, be honest, honor your commitments, admit when you're wrong, communicate effectively, be vulnerable, be helpful, show people you care. So those are the ingredients for how to build trust.
I think that's way more complicated than it needs to be, honestly.
Yeah, it feels a lot.
You know, here's the thing. All of that is telling you, once again, that list is a perfect example of what I'm talking about. Do all these things and then you'll be able to trust.
There you go.
I have an epiphany for everybody, okay? And I share this a lot in my work. I'm like, you trust 99.99999 some odd percent of what's going on in you and outside of you. You have to. You would be dead in the water if you didn't. Okay. None of us go to bed at night, unless someone has a serious psychosis, like we don't go to bed at night thinking, is the sun going to come up in the morning? Is it not going to come up? Is it going to come up? We don't create a 5-year plan for the rotation of the planets. Like we're not thinking about any of that. We just trust. We trust what's going on in our bodies. We trust that our hearts are going to continue to beat unless we have some sort of coronary issue. We trust all of it. Because like I said, we have to.
Yeah, right.
So there's this infinitesimal part of our lives that we take and we say, I can't trust. And however you want to label that, whether that's not trusting ourselves, whether that's not trusting others, whatever, it just says, I can't trust. One of the things that helps me lots of times is I try to imagine what Shakespeare was saying when he said, you know, the whole world's a stage.
Yeah, certainly.
And like, if I see a character in front of me, you know, it's like that beautiful poem, I can't recall who wrote it, but the Million Masks of God. Like if I see a character in front of me, or I see a situation unfold in front of me, and I'm watching, you know, a Broadway stage, and I'm watching it, I'm just watching it. I'm just like, wow, I know that it's a character. I know that it's a stage. I know that everything's great, and I'm going to just enjoy this spectacular performance. Why not just see about trying to do that in other places? Like, oh, wow. Isn't this interesting, the way the divine is expressing itself through this human being right now? Isn't that fascinating? Like, isn't it fascinating the way that they, I don't know, said this or did that, rather than it being like, oh, they did this and that meant this. And all of a sudden now all of my structures, all the castles, all the Potemkin villages I've built in my head are all crumbling down if I don't do something to make it right. What are we on about? It's insanity. That's insanity. Insano. It means unhealthy. That's unhealthy. So like, let's just, I mean, just for the sake of it, just for the fun of it, just because life's a heck of a lot easier when you do it, like relax and just say, that's interesting.
That's such great advice. I love it.
Great.
Yeah, no, because it really is the truth. It's this idea of managing your expectations and letting go of control. And when you watch a movie, you're not like completely judging all the time. Like, why would he say that? Oh, that was mean. That was rude. You can do the same thing in your regular life. Like, I was at hockey practice this morning with 20 high school kids, right? And there's some things that happen throughout a 60-minute practice. And you're like, what is that? And through my own training, I've kind of learned to let that go and be like, that's wild. Man, it is weird when he does that. And I don't get too hung up on it. I don't get too worked up about it and like, you know, start skating all the kids and being, you know, that crazy coach or anything. It's more like, I'd almost chuckle at it. I go, that's strange. That's a funny scene in a movie.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I actually had that happen to me not that long. I think it was last year sometime. Some woman just pulled out and she almost ran straight into me with her car. And then she honked at me and she like waved her hand out the window. I don't even know. And I was just watching the whole thing. And I thought, and I really was thinking like, what a interesting movie performance. Like there was a part of my brain that did like, and there was no part of me that could in any way get upset because I was just like, I just found it amusing. I was glad that I was still in this physical body, but I found it amusing. Like, what if we went through life that way?
Yeah.
Just a possibility. It's just a possibility, but it is a possibility. It exists as a way of living.
You can choose that. Like today, after you listen to this podcast, you can go to work, you can experience some sort of an exchange, and you can literally not give it any value at all and just take it for what it is. So like, and then, you know, here's that other quote by Maya Angelou, which is when people show you who they are, believe them. Like then believe them. Like if that same character keeps showing up, then believe that that's the villain. And if that same character keeps showing up, believe that that's the one here to bring peace to the world. Like we go through these sequences all day long with people and we attach value to everything they say and do. And then that's how we operate based on like the value that we give these things. But if we didn't give it as much value, and I think if I'm hearing you correctly, this is kind of what you're saying. It's like, let it go. Just don't give it any value. It's like, that's her line in the movie. Okay. That's a little strange. And then maybe you have to be, you know, kind of courageous and bold enough to go, I don't think I'm going to hang around that character as much as I used to. You know, that character doesn't make me real happy when they show up in my movie. So I need to separate myself from that whole thing. But I think what you're talking about, we can apply in jobs today, we can apply in relationships today, which is that idea of let it go. Stop giving it so much weight and value and just let it be and then take it for what it is. The last time you were on our podcast, you talked about the costumes that people wear and you were talking about I am person, I am persona. Persona is something, I don't know, you probably remember more than I do, but you basically got to the fact that we're all wearing a mask and life is but a movie. Isn't that what the Italians say? Life is a movie?
They say lots of things. I haven't heard that expression here, but la vita è dolce, la vita è bella. Anyway, I think what you hit on here too, when I'm hearing it, I can almost hear certain people not wanting to give up that psychosis. Like sometimes we're like, but I there's no way I can accept this person's behavior. And we're not talking about accepting. And we're also not talking about not caring. It's actually quite the opposite. When you give it up, when you decide, hey, I'm going rogue. I'm going to trust the way I trust almost everything that's happening. I'm going to just trust that this is another happening. And that's just it. That's all it is. That's all it is. And I'm going to not give my brain, my massive, beautiful, you know, magnificent brain, the function of trying to figure it out or make it a certain way or tell that person that they have to be whatever. And there will be some people who just don't, they prefer to hold on to whatever's making them, you know, they prefer to hold on to that whole thing, and that's okay. But if you're listening and you're there's something clicking, right? That's when we have this. It can happen literally from one moment to the next. It really can. It doesn't require a lot of effort or anything. It's just, hey, what if I just relax back here and trust? And to the point about the masks, you know, a persona, the mask, and like, if I can see that actually, even if I can't see it, this is there is divinity in that moment, in that person, in that situation and whatever, like I might not be able to see it, but it's there. And if I can just relax and say, oh, it's interesting, as if I were watching anything else, I'm just watching it. You really do start to liberate yourself. And like I said, it can be immediate or it can take a little bit longer, but we're the ones who, you know, have to make that call. And yeah, I see people hanging on to it, but I'm telling you, it's not worth it.
It's not worth it. All right. We're going to start to kind of wrap up. This is a three-part series with Courtney, and we're going to be back with two more. We're going to talk about time and how to manage our time. We're going to talk about adding humor and more fun in your life in part three of this thing. So as we start to wind down this, I'm going to throw this at you, and I want to see how you react. There's nothing more infuriating than when I'm strung out or worked up, and then somebody tells me to relax. Or to calm down. I think you knew I was going to go there. So for the high strung person listening to our podcast right now, and we've just said, hey, bud, just relax. And they're going, shut up. I mean, I just can't stop talking. But how does, because I think first and foremost, they have to get aware. They have to realize that they're kind of strung out and that they're high strung and they're worked up and their frequency is, you know, kind of up here. And whether you know it or not, you're actually putting yourself in a position to you can't even receive things because the walls and all the things are up. So how do you get people to relax without telling them to relax, buddy? Calm down.
Yeah, I would never tell someone. And that was the alarm bell that was kind of going off in my head when I made that last comment, because I can hear, I've you know, known people throughout my life who prefer to hold on to it. But if you think about it, now, here's the thing. The number one thing you can do to relax is go lay down. Okay. And I'm not joking. Like, get horizontal. Yeah. You almost within a few minutes, you will be moving into different brainwave frequencies, which you just talked about. You will be calming down very naturally. Another secret is called the best kept secret of neuroscience is yawn. Just start yawning.
Really?
It's actually... Oh my God. I can't believe in our schools we tell kids not to yawn. This is really silly. Because yawning is both energizing and relaxing for the body, which is pretty phenomenal. It has this dual function. And as soon as you yawn, your body starts to release certain certain neurochemicals into your bloodstream it's one of the things I also say in relationship is yawn together, because you're releasing a lot of oxytocin when you yawn, and which is is now commonly called the bonding chemical. But yawning is just this really magical thing. So like just laying down yawning, and you'll just see that you will shift, your state will shift. And if you start to just do that a few times, you not only will you be much more effective in everything you do, but you'll start to understand what it means. Like, we're not saying relax, don't think about it, whatever else, because that's just going to make it even worse. There's nothing for you to do. And that's the hard part for people to really wrap their heads around. There's nothing for you to do. Just literally just go lay down. And I want to say the last thing, I'm sure you and I, you just said it, and I want to reiterate is, it was the most frustrating thing in the world for me to hear that when people were telling me to relax, especially because I was doing everything to appear relaxed. And I thought, I look pretty relaxed. I mean, for most people, I think I did look really relaxed, but I was not relaxed at all. My nervous system was on freaking way overdrive. I was doing all the things. I had to be all the things for all the people, you know, all the stuff, right? And I'm telling you now, there's so much just built in. Like, I go get horizontal quite a bit when I need to, or just time out. And there's no judgment in it. Like, we've all been in these places, and especially right now, it's super easy to get have your nervous system totally hijacked. And then of course you're wanting to blame everything and everyone else. But you have no agency in that. There's no agency in that. And that's what I would love for people to hear is like, take your power, your agency back. become the sole governing agent of the particle. You can do that. That is available to us. And ironically, it doesn't require us to figure all this stuff out. It just means, I'm going trust, like you were talking about before. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
All right. So find a way to settle down. Find a way to get you. And yeah, sometimes, but you even said in our last podcast, I think you'd said something like, I think you had just done a radio interview before we podcasted and you weren't feeling really well that day. And you said, I went in and I did this interview laying down. I just held the microphone above my head or something like that. I was like, this is perfect.
Yeah, it was actually like I was wishing I could do that for hours. I think I actually had like a blazing hot fever, which was really bizarre. I'm hardly ever sick, but I had this. I was like, my eyes were burning, everything. I was like, who knows how that turned out? We'll see.
But it turned out great.
Matthew seemed okay with it. But yeah, I think to bring it all back to the question that we started with about being there, like when you relax, you will start to realize more and more that you are there. You're all of it. All of these potentials that we're talking about, they exist for you. It's not just someone else, something else. And I think, again, ironically, the less we push and strive and try to get there and the more we relax and trust, the more when it's a true evolutionary impulse that's coursing through you, this thing that you want, the more that starts the situations, the circumstances, everything that match that frequency, because it's a relaxed frequency. What we are calling in needs a relaxed frequency. The bigger it is, the more relaxed we have to be. It's so funny. I spend so much, and we're going to talk about this in the next part of this, but like I spend so much of my time just chilling. Like, and people say, but how did you do all this stuff? And I'm like, I don't actually think I did. Like, and it's not in any way self-effacing. It's like, I was mostly just chilling, and then there was these other things going on, and I did those too. But the frequency of it, and again, we'll talk about it maybe in our next episode. But even like from a brainwave perspective, it's just totally different. So it's right there.
So why don't you have what you want? Is the answer? There are several answers, but some of the things that I'm hearing from our podcast and time together today is, to me, if there's an overarching theme, it's that you won't settle down long enough for it to come and find you.
Mm. Well, and also to realize that you have the sensation that you're really after. Like, you're not after the thing, you're after what you think the thing is going to have you feel. Mm-hmm. You're never after the thing. It's not the car. It's the prestige you think the car is going to give you. It's not the money. It's the sense of freedom. It's not the job. It's the sense of I'm worthy. It's that. And if you learn how to figure out what that driving force is and tap into that at will, which you can, those other things are going to show up and you're not even really going to care about them that much anymore. They'll be nice. They're pleasurable, whatever. But the real pleasure is that peace and that contentedness that you've cultivated in yourself.
Okay. Fabulous start. Part one, almost a wrap. We're going to come in, and in part two, we're going to talk about time management and who needs to spend some time with part two. Here's who needs to spend time with part two. Anybody like me who ties their value to their productivity. And if for you being busy gives you your self-worth, then I'm just inviting you so hard, if that's a way to say it, to come and spend some time with us on episode number two, because we're going to break down that concept and the idea of how you can manage your time better. We'll see you next time, Courtney.
We have three goals with Learn from People Who Lived It. One, to help you feel less alone. Two, encourage you to seek out a coach, a therapist, a church, anyone who can help you get through your journey and find some healing. Three, when you're ready, share your story with us.
Find Learn from People Who Lived It, wherever you get podcast. Search it using all one word, Learn from People Who Lived It.